there is so much to learn about Christ. And may He give us so all the years we need to understand Him here. And that's so important. And we rejoice in the fact that He has not left us comfortless, but has sent the Holy Spirit for us, and to not only be with us, but abide in us. And thank God for that. I enjoyed all these testimonies. And thank you. We need to hear that the fire's still falling, and God is still meeting us and filling us and touching us. And you're absolutely right. You know, we can't get our heads on it, but we need to open our hearts to Him in that way. So important. And I enjoyed what you said, Sister Aletha. I remember Brother Gardner, he used to hand out like a prescription to people, praise. And particularly people who seem to suffer from feelings and emotions and depression. He did this more than once when he would say, what I want you to do is go and praise God out loud for 15 minutes. Do that every day, you know, for 60 days, like you were taking an antibiotic, you know. And I know so many folks that have gotten victory in their life because they obeyed that. We don't worship out loud just because it's our style. You know, there are some who say, well, that's they put a name on it. Well, you're Pentecostal, you're charismatic, or, you know, that's your free worship style. They got all kinds of names. We don't do it because that's who we are. We worship because who He is. And His presence demands a response. And our hearts know that. So, yeah, it is an act of the will. I like to tell the story of Brother Wanamaker. His picture's up there. Very famous artist drew that. And I'm thankful that he's in heaven now and not able to see that. But Brother Wanamaker, he visited us here during the winter retreat. And, I wish you all could know him. The man, he just so loved Jesus so much. You wanted to love Jesus like he did. And we were all in the dining room over there in the annex and waiting. And he came down, and he was feeble when I met him, and hunched over, a violinist. And he came in, and he hobbled in, and I was standing there. I was nervous. You know, because this man, he walked with Christ. And he came over to me and he said, "Praise the Lord!" And he poked me. And I said, "Amen." And he poked me. I said, "Praise the Lord!" And he poked me again. And having been slow of mind, I said, "Amen." I thought I had to say it louder because he didn't hear me. But he heard me quite well. And he said, "No! Praise the Lord!" And I finally got it. "Praise the Lord! That's it!" And he let out a laugh. And then he said, what we heard tonight, he said, "Rejoicing's a command. Rejoicing's a command." So, we have no excuse not to worship, right? Well, I want to just share something that's been a tremendous help to myself and my wife, and I've shared it with the chapel. And it's if you wish to open with me, it's in Philippians chapter 4. And I hope the Holy Spirit gives you as much help as He has given me. This is what we read there. Let's see, in verse 5. Of chapter 4. He's, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown," he says, "his, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." So stand fast in the Lord. And I take this as not just, you know, sometimes we need to know how to stand, right? I mean, there comes times in our walk on this narrow way, following the Master, we need to stand. Like when Daniel had to take a stand, being told that he couldn't pray, and what did he do? He prayed anyway. And that was a challenge, and that was a stand. Or how about David with Goliath, coming against all of Israel? David takes a stand. But I think what Paul is writing about is taking a stand in our daily life, every day, our ordinary life. Just saying, Lord, I stand fast in you today. What a great prayer that is to start your day. I stand fast in you today. Lord, whatever may come my way, whatever circumstance, situation, whatever may rock my emotions, I'm standing fast in you today. Have you ever had your emotions rocked? Isn't it interesting how one word can turn the tide of how you feel, right? One event, one neglect, what somebody said, what somebody didn't say, what somebody meant to say but didn't, you know, what was supposed to happen and did happen, but you weren't there to have that happen, right? And your emotions tank. On this narrow way, we have the Holy Spirit to keep us steadfast, standing. I found it so. I didn't know what I was getting into becoming a pastor. I heard all this rhetoric about, you know, it's the best job on earth. And it is. And it is. Sister Grace Schulte, she would always say, it's the greatest job on earth. But you know, there's a lot of pain and anguish. And if you're a true pastor and you're not a hireling, then you know what happens. The love of God flows in and through you, and you have this care for people that hurt sometimes. But you got to stay steadfast, and you got to stand, right? And the Holy Spirit is there to do that in us. And so Paul, while he's shackled to two guards, he's standing fast. He goes on in 6, be anxious for nothing. I always like that. You know, I used to get so angry when people say, don't worry about it. Did you ever have that? You know, you share something and they say, hey, don't worry about it. You know? And I would get like, yeah, okay, right. Yeah, you don't worry about it. Then you read the Bible and Paul says, don't worry about it. And you can't argue with God. You know? You can't get angry. But when you read this, he doesn't just say, don't worry about it. He says, let's make a transaction here. Don't worry, but do this. Now, that I can handle. Instead of worrying, he says, give everything to God in prayer, supplication. Don't forget the thanksgiving. And let your request be made known to God. Now, that's a nice formula right there for us to do. That's our way out of worry or anxiety. And the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, gives us this wonderful formula. What do? Well, give it to God in prayer, thanksgiving, and make it known to God, right? What we often do is make it known to everyone else. And we think that that's going to make us feel better, right? You get on the phone, you share it with someone. But the Word of God says, share it with God. Talk to God about it. And this is what he's promised. This is the wonderful promise in verse 7. And he says this. I'll skip a little bit. He says, he gives us this peace that surpasseth all understanding. I've experienced that. A peace that just doesn't make sense. The Holy Spirit can give you that. If you haven't experienced it, don't count it out. Because don't judge God by your experience. He's greater than you, whatever you've experienced. And say, Lord, this is what your word says. Do this for me. I believe you to do this for me. To give me a peace that surpasseth all understanding. And he uses this military term here. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that a wonderful promise? You know, to guard your heart and your mind. He goes on to say in 8. Finally, brethren. whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you, Lord, for the power in the word of God, that it can work in us wonders beyond, Lord, what we know or experience. And we pray that tonight as we look into your word, that, Lord, you'll teach, as Martin Luther cried, teach us, teach us, teach us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, two wonderful things here. Look at verse 7. In verse 7, he says, it promises the peace of God. And what's wonderful, when you go down to 9, you not only get the peace of God, but you get the God of peace. And that's even better, isn't it? The God of peace. And verse 8, it says, finally. And you know what that means, if you know a little bit of Greek. What does it mean? Absolutely nothing to pastors. Because it's finally means it doesn't. It's not a word that doesn't exist. And Paul, he goes right on too, doesn't he? Brethren, whatsoever things are true, and he gives us this whole list of good things. But at the bottom he says, meditate on these things. And the inference in the Greek is, I love this so much, is make it your habit. Now that's an interesting way of putting that list that he gave us. Now let's take a look at that list again. Things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely. One version says admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy. He tells us that make it a habit of thinking of these things. Now that's a good habit, isn't it? You know how they say bad habits are easy to form, but good habits are hard. But the Apostle Paul says, here are some things that it would be good for you to think about. And the Apostle Paul gives us, what he's giving us is a catalog of good things from God to think about. And I thought as I looked at this list that we need to obsess over these good things. Have you ever obsessed over something? You know, where you couldn't get the thought out of your head? It's like, oh, I'm driving down the street, you know, 516 in Browntown. And, you know, I drive by and it was a warm summer day. And I see this Carvel sign. You know, and I start thinking about the Carvel commercial. You know, he had that voice. You know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. But the crazy commercial with Steve Boyce, the worst commercial in the world. But it made you want to have ice cream. And I started thinking, well, yeah, I haven't had Carvel ice cream in a long time. And I remember, my memory of it is pretty good. It was good. So, you know, I had to turn around and get some ice cream. You know, we get like that. Our brains are like that. Well, Paul, he says, here's a catalog of things that we need to obsess over. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, right, pure. You know, the truth is, this is a pretty good catalog of wonderful things. Now, I don't know how many of you remember the Sears catalog, the Christmas catalog. Boy, I used to get excited about that. Everybody, what a generation. You missed out. You're all too much, you know, iPod out. Because the Christmas came around, the Sears catalog was like, yahoo! Look at all the things my mother's never going to buy me. Woo! You know, but I had a good imagination. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm getting that. Oh, no, you're not. You know, the Sears catalog, Christmas catalog, was every 1965 boy's hope that one day his mom might, for some reason, have a breakdown and just say, have it, son. You know, just get it. I mean, I would obsess over those things. And my brother and I, you know, the big thing was who would get it first so you could take it to bed with you and say, oh, yeah, look at that telescope, you know? oh, or look at that. And so I'd be like, where's the Sears catalog? Where is it? You know, it's under my brother's pillow. So this was major fight time. Folks, I wish I had one to bring. But you know, you can obsess over that. And what I want to say to you is that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, says, here's a great catalog from God. And take a look at it. Look at this great catalog. Whatsoever is true. Will you right now do me a favor? Let's do a mental exercise. I mean, doesn't that sound very collegiate? You know, here's a mental exercise. Will you right now think of something true? Just rough. Come on, real quick. Just think of something true. Because Paul says, make it a habit of thinking of that. Now think of something noble. Folks, you're humiliating me. Stop. Stop. Think of things. Think of. Sorry, Brother Gus. I was thinking of you. Or think of something that's right. You know, that's right. I've been thinking of some things lately, particularly the way the world's turning, of what's right. You know what's right. Or pure. I mean, think about something that's pure right now. Or how about this? Something that's lovely. Or admirable. Or something that's of excellent report or praiseworthy. You know, that's good for your mind. Because this is a catalog that God says, here, you can have it. And you can focus on these things. In fact, make it a habit to think about these things. Today, we think about so many things, don't we? And they get in our mind, they get in our thoughts. You know, thank God for the internet. And look at there, all you have to look on your face like, here it comes, the talk about the internet. Well, we need to talk about it. Because the internet is wonderful. What a blessing it is. It really is. Any information's on there. But I'll tell you, it's also a den of devils. And what Satan is using the internet, unfortunately, to do is to capture this generation's mind. And to have their thinking and their focus on things that Satan had kept in hell for centuries, but now are available. It's true. It's true. And, you know, I have had too many experiences with young people who are trapped through things on the internet. And if it's not pornography, it's things that seem less dangerous and more innocent, but has captured their minds and their thoughts. That's uncomfortable truth, right? That's an inconvenient truth, as Al Gore put it. After all, he's the one who invented the internet. But folks, we need to consider this. So the Holy Spirit says, make it your habit to think on these things. Here's a catalog of good things. Focus on these things. And the truth is, we'll never live a courageous Christian life unless we learn to focus. How are you focusing? Well, you'll never live a courageous Christian life until you have a mind that can focus. And sometimes I hear, and I've said it myself, I'm guilty of it, saying, you know, I just can't focus today. But I meet people who say, you know, I don't have a mind that focuses. I just don't have a mind that can focus well, you know. And I know just what they mean when I speak with them. Because I have one person I'm thinking of, you know, I went to him about a serious question, and I said, I need to ask you something because we need to work something out. And I asked him the question, and in the middle of asking him the question, he said, I wonder how many tiles are in that ceiling. And he's looking up. And I drew him back in. And to my unfortunate experience, a fly flew by. You know, and he was like, you know. And sometimes people give God the excuse, like, God, I just can't focus. But I found out something, that everybody can focus. And you know how I know that? Because I've seen people who have come into fear, and you have no problem focusing with fear. Isn't it true? The most unfocused mind can focus when they're afraid. And what do I mean by that? Well, I had a precious elderly friend, and you know we would be together now and then. And one time he said to me, "You know, I've got this spot. I got this spot, and I wonder what that is." And he's looking at it, you know. And he's asking me, but he's looking at it. And it's funny, you know, he's putting it this way, that way, this way. And I said, I said, "I'm no doctor, but it looks like an age spot to me. Looks like an age spot." And he said, "Huh, you think so? Hmm." And then we went someplace weeks later, he's driving. And I looked over, and I noticed while he was driving, he was doing this. Yeah? And he was focusing on that, that spot. You know? He became obsessed with it. And he had no trouble focusing. And you know, he didn't do this, but some people, you know what? They get so caught up in fear that they get on the internet and they research it. Now that's stupid, right? But they research it, and they look up, you know, they get there and they go, oh boy, oh my goodness, oh. You know, meanwhile in church, the pastor's saying, meanwhile that week in church, let's back up, the pastor's saying, you know, if you're having difficulty, you ought to do a word study. You ought to do a word study and go through the Bible. If you're fearful, do a study in the Word of God on fear. Meanwhile, let's go back. They're on the internet going, "I'm going to die. Oh, look at this." You know? And they find, you find all this thing, this stuff, right? Now, but back to my friend. He comes back to me and says, "You know what it was? It's an age spot." He says, "It's just an age spot. I'm getting old." You know, folks, we have no problem focusing with fear. And I think we need to learn something, that fear and faith are both powered by focus. Isn't it true? Fear and faith are both powered by focus. We read in the Word that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, if you're fearful, you're focusing on that thing. You're obsessing over that thing. And God says, He calls us by the Holy Spirit. He says, "Here's something, focus on the Word of God." And what will be the byproduct of focusing on the Word of God? It'll be faith. And instead of saying that the enemy's going to have his way, or the enemy's trying to destroy me, or that I, or all about yourself, like I'm not worthy, and I'm this, and I'm that, when you focus on the Word, faith rises, and it's all about who Jesus is, what Jesus did, how He accomplished it in my life, and suddenly there's glory, and there's hope. And there's a whole transition that happens in our mind. But in this wonderful list, or I should say examples that the apostle gives us, whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent, of praise report, if you're focusing on that, here's the good news. You can have as much of that as you want. And that's good news, isn't it? You know, don't you like to indulge? Right? You know, what if, like, they came around with the ice cream tonight? You know? Now, I abstained. But wouldn't it be great if it just be like, have as much candy and ice cream as you wanted? Right? You're so anti that. Hey, it's like me saying, "Hey, have a sugary drink as much as you want." You know, there's ads against that. But we all like to indulge. That's a lifestyle. It's wonderful that the Holy Spirit says, "Here's some good things that are that you can have as much as you want of. You can think about noble things as much as you want, things that are right and pure and lovely, as much as you want. Remember when the Atkins diet came out? You know, what was so good about the Atkins diet was you could have as much of the protein or what as much as you want. You know, literally pig out. and that, you know, that's great. Well, that's what the Lord is saying here. Make it a habit of thinking of these good things. Begin to focus on these things. Sometimes we ask God to increase our faith, and I believe the Holy Spirit is asking us to increase our focus because we get distracted so easily. I recall in my art class, I had a lot of art classes, and I had some unusual art teachers. Art people are weird. And there's evidence. There's evidence. Ahem is amen in art language.
Touche.
Well, you know, you learn a lot, and I love art. But you know, I had an art teacher, and we were doing this new thing on contour drawings. You know, and I was doing this. Here's my paper. Had my paper, and we had some objects up there to draw. Sometimes, you know, still life. Sometimes people. Sometimes whatever he could find, he would bring in, and he would. It's time to do contour drawings, and so I was like this, you know, and he came over and he said, "I want you to stop looking at your paper so much, and I want you to keep your eyes on the object, because that's how you do contour drawings." And I thought, he's a little off, you know? But he knew what he was talking about. When you do contour drawings, you have to keep your eye on the object. And believe it or not, it gets right on the paper. And that's what we need to do when it comes to walking with the Lord. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And these are the good things that will help us do that, because this list, this catalog, describes Christ. Whatsoever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything, everything that's of excellent or praiseworthy or of good report, that's our Lord and our Savior. And we need to keep our eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord on this narrow way. You've heard the expression, hold that thought, have you? I got to tell you this real quick. We had a men's retreat here. Tom, you were there. You probably recall this. It was a wonderful men's retreat. And this Italian gentleman at the end. You know, because the Holy Spirit fell. Oh, those retreats were awesome. They really were. And the Italian gentleman says, Brothers, let us greet each other with the holy kiss. And Reverend Gardner goes, hold that thought. Hold that thought, he said. You know, and we were just, it was such a joyous time. Hold that thought. Well, to quote Brother Gardner, hold the thought. Hold that thought. What thought, Brother Keith? Hold that thought that's noble. Hold that thought. How about while we're here at camp? You know, don't you think that the enemy's going to come around and give you some sort of negative feedback on something to cause your mind to obsess on? I mean, come on, folks. Of course he's going to do that. Of course he's going to come around and tempt you to go that route. But I want to say to you, hold that thought. Hold the thought that's pure. Hold that thought that's noble, that's praiseworthy. And say, Lord, I'm holding this thought. I'm going to make it a habit, God, this week to think of things that are pure or lovely. And maybe you struggle. Well, let me just go right there. Maybe you struggle with pure thoughts, impure thoughts. Well, do a word study on it from the Word of God. What a simple cure that is. Where that's just the right thing to do, to hold that thought. Well, I'm going to close with this. as much as we need to hold a thought, sometimes there are thoughts that hold us. Have you had them? There are thoughts that hold us. And they hold us captive, right? Well, here's the thing. And I love this from 2 Corinthians 10, 5, 6. And I'll relate it to us quickly for time's sake. You'll read there. The Apostle Paul, he writes to them in 2 Corinthians 10, 5, and he says this. He says, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And what he was saying, to paraphrase it, what he was saying was when he went to Corinth, there was such evil there that there was, folks, if we were to evangelize in that city with the Apostle Paul, I think some of us would say, let's find someplace else. There's such wickedness here. But the Apostle Paul said, this is what we do. We take those thoughts captive. I like that. And did not the Apostle Paul do that in Corinth? Because he established a church in that wicked, wicked city. And I looked at that and I said, if the Apostle Paul said by the Holy Spirit he could walk into this wicked city and take thoughts captive for Christ, then we can take thoughts captive. Can't we? Instead of their holding us, we get a hold of them. And this has helped me so much. And my wife so much. Where, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, this thought, I take it captive in the name of Jesus. Because I know it's not pleasing. Do you know what they do when in wartime when a prisoner's caught? What do? They interrogate that prisoner, don't they? Right? So I want to make a suggestion to us tonight. How about the next time the enemy tries to plant a thought in your... Maybe it's a thought of disunity. Or you don't like that person. Or, you know, you don't care for this. Or maybe it's just the blues that come in. How about taking that thought captive and interrogating that thought and saying, wait, these are the two questions. Number one, because when a prisoner is taken captive, they ask them, first thing is, where did you come from? So the first thing you do is say, where did that thought come from? Is that thought from the Lord? Or is that thought from the enemy? The second question is this. What's your mission? What is your mission? If with the prisoner, they want to know, why did you come here? So I often ask, when the enemy tries to sow a thought into my mind, wait a minute, where'd you come from? And what is your mission? What is it you're trying to destroy in me? What is it you're trying to work against God's will in my life? And by the power of Jesus Christ, I take that thought captive. I ask those two questions. You know, it keeps us focused on things that are noble, true, pure, things that are lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. It keeps our focus on Christ. So by God's grace, let's think these good things from this catalog. Maybe by just a suggestion, I believe by the Holy Spirit, maybe since the Lord introduced this to us, maybe you should memorize that portion of Scripture. Memorize that catalog. I could probably tell you some of the items in the Sears catalog, you know. But it would be good for us to remember why I'm going to make these things my habit. Father, we ask that by the Holy Spirit, that you'll help us to focus on these good things. Lord, there's so many thoughts that do us no good, that are harmful. Lord, that take us away from you, that sow condemnation into our hearts. We want to meditate on these things. We want to make these things a good habit, but we need your help. And we're so thankful that you're more than willing to help us tonight. Oh God, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the Holy Spirit. And as we even rehearsed earlier about that there's a fire that falls on the altar, we pray, God, that you'll fall on our hearts, Lord, and fill us with yourself. We're thankful that through the Holy Spirit, God, we don't have to be held by any thought except for this thought, that you paid the price for us, that you set us free, that you are noble and true, that you are Lord, that you are trustworthy. And we thank you for this, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shall we stand together and let's join in singing Blessed Assurance. It's number 44, excuse me. Blessed Assurance. Thank you, Lord. We'll sing this and then we'll be dismissed. But if you want to stay and just wait on the Lord, of course, let's feel free to do that. 44. If you'd like to stay and just wait on the Lord, please feel free. Thank you, Lord.